Welcome to Money for the Rest of Us Plus. This is the companion episode, episode 83. Please save more. It is Thursday, November 19th. I'm recording the Plus episode a couple days early. Usually I record on Saturday morning, sometimes on Friday. We are traveling Friday and Saturday, and it has been an absolutely horrendous week. Not for the markets, but in my home life. LaPrille and I were out at the farm yesterday just checking on and getting some stuff that we wanted to bring back to for Thanksgiving. And I noticed the just wasn't a lot of water pressure. We have a geothermal heating system there, and there wasn't any water going through that. So I thought, well, let me just check the well pump, the pressure tank down in the crawl space. And I opened up the trap door, and there was 2 feet of water in the crawl space. And I just was shocked. I hadn't seen anything like that. And I'm not mechanically inclined. And so I started making calls to see what exactly to do. I mean, I hit the breaker for the well pump. At least I thought I did. Yet there was water coming in. It took me about an hour, help of a farmer that farms our ground. He came over. It took us about an hour to get the water out. And we feel very, very fortunate that we caught it when we did, because that water was coming in so fast that it could have essentially risen 6 feet, I suspect. I don't know. The crawl space floor is dirt. Went back this morning, and most of it's gone. So we got to get plumber's not coming until Tuesday. And it just emphasizes again that honestly, owning a second home can be a real pain. If somebody asked me, should you ever buy a second home? I'd say no. And just because it's just this thing that's always there and you have to check on it. We bought ours because of the land, but I don't know. But what we're going to do, it looks like we're probably going to move out there next spring and just try spending the entire summer there and make that our primary residence and sell some of our other properties. But that's what's going on there. I'm recording this on a different mic because one of the audio interface I use blew up or doesn't work anymore. So that's been a challenging. And so it's just been one of those weeks. I suspect you have some of those also. But that's okay. We're going to keep moving forward. Today, I wanted to talk about the John Hussman. And Seth is a member of the Hub. He asked about him because my sense is John Hussman is one of Seth's sort of virtual mentors. I know he looks a lot at what Jeremy Grantham is doing, as Seth does, and there's some others that he looks at. And I think that's important to have some investors that you look to. Perhaps some of you consider me an investing mentor from that aspect, but I also am looking at other ones. And you even see this in the hedge fund space. You see hedge fund managers watching what other managers are doing that they respect, and they get ideas from that. And that's a good thing. But John Hussman is a manager that I've actually followed for a number of years. And it was interesting, particularly since the Great Recession, because he runs a number of mutual funds, but in the Hussman Growth Fund, he hedges. So he will run a hedged portfolio and was hedged going into the bear market of 2008 and came out really, really well. But then the way that he manages money is he looks at what has happened historically and puts what's going on in the context with what's happening historically. He looks at valuations, he looks at economic trends, and of late, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, he looks at market internals. And so he was appropriately positioned for the 2008 downturn. But then he stress test his data for depression-like scenarios and didn't move as quickly back into the market and has remained fairly bearish through the first 2 years, so 2009 through 2010, even into 2011. And And then the one reason I really respect John Husman, he's one of the few managers he puts out a weekly piece where he gives his thoughts on what is going on in the market and how he's positioned. So he's very, very transparent, and he'll admit when he's made a mistake, and he's admitted that they were too overly conservative in the first 2 years of the recovery, and he'll admit that he's been, as markets have gotten more pricey, the U.S. market, the U.S.-based investor, in 2012, 2013, 2014, he's been too bearish, too hedged, but in 2014 made a change and decided that given the way the Fed has, you could say they've pumped up the market or through quantitative easing. And episode, I think, 30, 32 of the podcast, I talk about the musical chair analogy and that quantitative easing depends on how investors react. And investors have reacted by buying risk assets, such as stocks, generally speaking. And Husman's view is the Fed is blowing a bubble in terms of markets. And so even though valuations are high by his perspective, if market internals are favorable, they will have constructive exposure to the market. They'll still always remain partially hedged, but maybe will release some of their hedges. What Husman has never really done is describe how he measures market internals. And I used to read his newsletter every week. And now occasionally I look at it, but if you're really, really bullish on the markets, read John Husman, and you will always, at least in the current environment, leave sobered. So he hasn't really described what market internals are, but he's changed his investment approach a number of times to not in a, certainly he's got some pressure. I mean, he has lost a lot of assets in his fund, and I don't think he's doing it because of that, although I think psychologically it can weigh on you when you have that type of performance. For example, over the past year, the Husman Growth Fund, year over year is down 10.7%. So year to date, down 9.8%. 1 year performance, -10.7%. The 3 year annualized return is -9.5%. The 5 year annualized return is -8.1%. And now the 10 year number is negative 3.7% annualized. And so there's some psychological, I mean, they've lost assets, right? And in terms of his fund. But he is willing to make adjustments based on market internals, but hasn't really described what those market internals are. And on the Hub, I look at a lot of the same thing Husman's done. I look at valuations and I agree with him that markets are overvalued in terms of the U.S. stock market. He describes it. He says this is his piece he releases his pieces every Monday. So his most recent Monday piece, it's titled "The Bubble Right in Front of Our Faces." And he says, "Cutting immediately to the chase, we continue to believe the U.S. equity market is in a late stage top formation of the third speculative bubble in 15 years. On the basis of measures best correlated with the actual subsequent S&P 500 total returns across history, equity valuations remain obscene. We fully expect a loss in the S&P 500 in the range of 40 to 55% over the completion of this cycle, an outcome that would be wholly run-of-the-mill given present market conditions and would not even bring reliable measures of valuation materially below their long-term historical norms." So that is perspective as he looks at his history. And he believes the market is very, very overvalued. Now, that 40 to 55% loss is up there with those maximum drawdowns for global stocks. And that's what we saw in 08 and 09. There was a 40% loss. And he's suggesting it's, again, that 40 to 50% loss typically are the type of losses you see when the economy is in a recession. Those are not, I mean, it's clearly a bear market, but those are not a bear market within a secular bull market within a growing economy type losses. And so to get a 40, 50% loss, you really need the economy to turn over and have a very high risk of recession. And I don't see that. But I do agree that the market, the U.S. market is overvalued. And you can see that on the hub in terms of the investment conditions report, the valuations measures. The U.S. has the lowest earnings yield and the highest price to earnings ratio on the Shiller PE, or the cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio. Hussman's view is that he sees potentially, he sees like a year one, a 40% market loss over 2 years, followed by a 10-year period which SP achieves a positive total return of 8% annually. And if that occurred, that would essentially be a flat 10-year period. On the hub, we're showing more positive returns for that for the stocks, simply because I have not forecasted in a recession per se over the next 10 years, and based on at least not a severe recession, and I certainly am not forecasting a 50% loss over a period of 2 years. Now, if market conditions change, that will change that. And that gets to one of the issues when you make 10-year expected return assumptions. You kind of have to look at, just like if you watch the video under the equity returns, how those were constructed. You look at dividend yields, and you have to make an assumption for earnings growth. And generally, you don't sit there and make the assumption that we're going to head into a recession and how severe it's going to be. It's certainly possible over the next 10 years, but you're going to assume that, maybe there is a recession. You don't know when, but over the time frame, assumed a 4% earnings growth for corporations, a 2% earnings yield, and the issue is on valuation. Returning then to what Hussman says, he writes, overvalued, overbought, overbullish conditions have also been a rather persistent feature of the market in recent years. In prior cycles across history, similar extremes were typically accompanied or quickly followed by a deterioration in market internals, and the overextended extremes were resolved by market losses. In the half cycle advance since 2009, the Federal Reserve aggressively and intentionally encouraged yield-seeking speculation and disrupted the overlap. One had to wait for market internals to deteriorate explicitly before adopting a strongly negative market outlook. And that gets back to his change in 2014. He's willing to take a little more risk if market internals are favorable. I guess that the challenge is he never really says what market internals he's looking at. And I recognize in the hub, I'm not necessarily, it's because I look at so many market internal measures, it's not as easy as valuation. Say, here's the valuation. There's the number, earnings yield, cyclical PE. Here's what the economy is doing as evidenced by PMI. But when it comes to market internals, there's all kinds of measures. You can look at the trend data, 50-day moving average, 200-day moving average. You can look at momentum data. What about individual sectors, sectors and industry? You can look at survey data, the level of fear and greed. You can look at the level of volatility. And so there's multiple measures, and I combine them all together and say market internals are such. They were red in that sort of late August to September to October period, and now they're neutral again, perhaps maybe low neutral, but nothing to suggest a sell-off is imminent. But again, John Hussman is a U.S.-focused investor, and we have, as hub members, the entire world to invest in, and we're not limited to a mandate of trying to outperform the S&P 500. We can invest in areas of the world that are more attractively valued. The U.S. is one of the most expensive countries in the world. There's other asset classes to invest in that have higher yields, or even on the equity side have more attractive valuations. And so bottom line is, Seth had pointed out that there are similarities. Now, that's not Seth saying this, but he's saying my view seems to differ than what John Hussman is saying in terms of what's going to happen in the near term with a 50% loss. That's true because, one, I'm not sitting here trying to predict the future like John Hussman is being paid to do. I'm trying to react as things happen. But as I see it, just looking at conditions, and that's what he's looking at, the economy does not appear to be slowing right now, and market internals are not as negative that I see. I think they're more neutral. There are certainly some elements that are negative, some are positive, but generally speaking, they're neutral. And I agree with him, the valuations in the U.S. is overvalued, but around the world, there are some more favorable valuations. That's why I'm diversified across the world. So that's John Hussman. I will link to his most recent weekly letter in the show notes. But read him. He's a really, really good investor. I've learned a lot from him over the years. It's just been a really, really challenging period for his shareholders, given the annualized negative returns, which are primarily not driven by stock selection. It's driven by that cost of the ongoing hedges protecting, essentially going to profit from the stocks dropping. I mean, he's essentially hedged in a way to gain if the market falls, and it hasn't, and that's what has led to the negative returns. Any questions, go ahead and email me, JD@jdavidstein.com.